We sweep the frozen plains of Norway for troll signs this week as we venture along a documentarian crew to find the beast in their natural habitat. But does this oft-forgotten giant monster classic still hold up? Or will we have to hunt for positive things to say about? There's only one way to find out, and that's by taking a deep dive with us this week. This is Kaiju vs. History, Troll Hunter.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your Bjorn to Hunt tracker, Patrick, and joining me is a novice with a film camera, Miles. Hey, Miles.
Hey, buddy.
You're right there. You broke your microphone laughing.
Yeah, the Bjorn to Hunt was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Some are Bjorn to run, some are Bjorn to hunt.
All right, don't overdo it.
2010's Troll Hunter, not to be confused like Google often is with the animated show Troll Hunters,
which I absolutely love until the very end.
Troll Hunter is a found footage, I would say, it says on Wikipedia, dark comedy. I would say it's just very dry comedy, if you can call it that. And it is a Norwegian film by director Andre Uvradal. And made its U.S. debut a year later in 2011 and wowed a lot of people at the time. I remember there was a good amount of buzz around this film, which, you know, whenever and it, like, independent kind of European movie comes out of nowhere like this, people are like, wow, they can do this over there too. You don't need Hollywood to make a crazy movie like this.
It is always funny that the shock that comes out with when, like, so many great movies come from, you know, Europe and Japan and stuff. In fact, that's why we have this podcast. But yeah, there's always, every year there is a buzzy genre film, at least one. And sometimes it's they wowed folks at some Sundance. Sometimes it's just a festival word of mouth that you know, Beyond Fest, Fantastic Fest, Fantasia, South by Southwest, all these big genre festivals that movies like this, or, you know, again, like your It Follows, your Talk to Me's, your Babadooks, like movies like these small movies that just kind of get this snowball effect. And this is one of them. I mean, this is, and this was still at a time where, like, it wasn't, like, these days, usually you have a theater within at least 90 miles that is playing something. When you have what's in between a wide and a limited release, you know, maybe 500 screens or something like that. I know Greenville, South Carolina, where I live, typically gets several of them, where 10 years ago, 15 years ago, this was not the case. So a lot of times we had to wait for DVD to see these things.
Did you see this one in theater?
I did not see this in theaters. I think I saw this as soon as it came home.
Right.
Did you see it in theaters?
No. I watched it first for the More You Nerd podcast with our buddy Drew. So we've technically podcasted about this movie twice, which is...
Yeah, let's just re-record that and then just pop that in the feed and boom, we're done.
Will Drew sue me if I just copy and paste that to the tail end of this podcast episode?
Because Drew won't ever know.
10 years later, a retrospective on Troll Hunter. I remember very much liking this the first time around, and it's not one that popped into my mind immediately as a kaiju film, but it's very kaiju. There's some elements of it. You know, you get to that, you know, mountain troll at the end of the movie, and not only special effects wise, but just kind of the action involved was very, very reminiscent, I would say, of a kaiju movie.
I would still call this one kaiju adjacent to agree, but I think, you know, it's a fantastic example of another culture, you know, creating this amazing giant creature movie, because if you're focusing on kaiju, while there are no, you know, named special creatures, these are mythical creatures from another culture. And you know, I mean, King Caesar is a mythical creature, you know, in terms of folklore in the Godzilla franchise. So, you know, we're not bound to that.
Yeah, they're treated like animals in this universe.
But this is
monsters with all kind of crazy abilities and things like that, and a huge lore. They really don't leave anything on the table for this film. They gobble up the entire mythology. You got, you know, trolls under bridges, forest, mountain trolls, every kind of troll you can imagine, cave trolls.
Yeah, they really do a good job. And I mean, kind of not unlike, because it's also a found footage movie, Cloverfield, they take this idea. And I think, like, yes, this movie is, you know, has a lot of comedic tones. In fact, in Norway, which is, you know, a cultural thing that we wouldn't know, several of the cast are famous Norwegian comedians.
Yes.
And which is not something I knew when I first saw it. I mean, I did understand there was a dry humor to it, but knowing that these guys are comedians, I can see there's a little bit more of an undertone here.
Well, yeah, Hans, the main actor, played by Otto Jespersen, is so dry in this movie. And I think part of that is a comedic effect, because he might have like a more, you know, comedic persona in real life. So it would be like, you know, watching Will Ferrell do like a straight man, and like we would all be in on the joke, but
which, I mean, he's done. And yeah, Otto Jespersen, also pretty controversial guy.
I did not Google him.
Yeah, don't click on his Wikipedia. I don't know how, again, with humor, I'm just reading what he got in trouble for sometimes. And you're like, oh, I don't know about that, bud. But I said this before when we were talking about Cloverfield. I'm a massive found footage person. And so this one was kind of like a breath of fresh air. I love a good mockumentary style, and not just, you know, someone picked up a camera because they heard a spooky sound. Do love those movies too. But this is about a group of college kids. I think they're also called teenagers, so maybe it's more like college in the UK sense.
They mentioned, they call them teenagers at like the very end of the movie. I was like, how old are these kids supposed to be? I was figuring they were like graduate students, you know?
Right. But yeah, so they're young kids work that are at a college. I guess either they stole or borrowed college equipment for this project. I don't know if it's for a class or not. We don't really get that information, but they start following this guy who they catch wind of, because there is someone who's been accused of killing bears, and wildlife in Norway is very policed.
Yeah.
And it's something that's actually kind of brought up in this movie. So they think they're tracking a poacher, and they just want to ask him some questions, because like the guy's been seen at the sites of these bear killings, and, you know, he's not being, you know, inconspicuous. And so eventually they kind of catch up with him. He tells them to just F right off, and they just keep following him until
follow him in the middle of the night into the forest,
which is a wonderful idea.
Past a sign that says active dynamite, like in progress.
Blasting area. Love that.
It's very early in the movie, but a lot happens in like the first 15 minutes. But
really does.
Yeah. So much happens kind of building up this world before Hans jumps out of the forest and yells, "Troll!" Which is great.
It's a fantastic sequence. I guess before we keep going, Patrick, what's in a title?
Well, this movie,
I just strolled right past that.
The movie within the movie focuses on a troll hunter, and he really is the focus of the film, Hans, and his work of exterminating trolls that, much like bears, like as soon as they like leave their habitat and start, you know, poking through your trash, he's got to exterminate the trolls that likewise do that. And there's been a big incursion, and that's where we get the title from. But it is a couple. There's a few different alternative titles around the world when this movie came out. Troll Total Destruction in Argentina. Troll Hunter, a Kept Secret in Finland. So right across the way in Scandinavia. In Mexico, this came out as Troll La Verdad Detrás de la Leyenda, The Truth Behind the Legend. And yeah, there's a few variations of Troll Hunter from culture to culture. Taiwan, it translates to Chasing the Troll, which I appreciate a good deal. But for the most part, just Troll Hunter wherever you go across this wide world. And this did get a pretty wide release. And nowhere that I found a dubbed version. It was all only the subtitled. Do you have this on physical media, Miles?
I actually don't have a physical. Well, no, wait. I think I have a DVD in a basement, in the basement, I think, or a lot of my older DVDs are. I think I have a copy of it.
I was wondering if for its release, it did get some dubbing.
I don't know. It's possible. I don't think so, but I can't speak specifically to that. I can look real quick and see if on Amazon it lists English language track.
I don't see it. I'm looking at the Amazon right now.
Okay.
I don't see it. At least I don't see actors that aren't the main actors here, which is honestly pretty surprising. But I feel like I remembered watching this in a dubbed version, but nope, apparently not. I think part of this movie is that it is makes it very successful is it is 100% steeped in Norwegian culture. Mm-hmm. And I think changing their voices, changing their language would change that a good bit, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I know there was talk of an American remake, and I was like, no, please don't, because you will lose the entire soul of the movie.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's such a movie about their mythology, but it's also about the country itself. And if you're not filming in Norway, which I would say...
Feels like a character in and of itself.
The main reason to watch this movie is just like with Peter Jackson's love of New Zealand, the filmmakers here really do have a deep respect for the nature of Norway. And it looks amazing in this film.
Phenomenal. It's, like,
they should use this as a, you know, tourist guide. This movie, just sit down, watch Troll Hunter and want to go to the fjords.
Miles. Oh, no, I mean, it certainly makes me want to visit Norway. I mean, I already do want to visit Norway. I've watched enough specials and stuff.
Beautiful
country. But yeah, and because this is a mockumentary format, they don't have to do as much of the shaky cam stuff at the beginning. So you get all these phenomenal still shots of them driving through the countryside. And I mean, even in some of the action sequences, just gorgeous. Gorgeous scenery. Like when they're even in the woods at night, it's beautiful. Like everything about Norway here is put on display perfectly. And I love that this is so different, because if you told me like, oh yeah, someone made a found footage movie about trolls, I would be like, oh, okay. and even the students are like that. But then we see these kind of like giant, goofy, but like dangerous monsters. And it works. This movie absolutely works.
Yeah. And it's so funny because they, for the art style of the trolls, and there are four different kinds that we see throughout the film.
Mm-hmm.
We see some more depicted in like artwork and things like that. But the character designer for these trolls definitely went a more cartoonish kind of route with them. And reading through some of the notes, the director got back, I forget the first troll, the three-headed one, I think. He looked at the art for them and was like, oh, well, that's just a giant penis sticking out of his face. Like, the nose was so phallic. And he was like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I wanted. And it's funny because they both look very cartoony, and they act kind of like they have some acting, like the farts and the burps and the sneezes and stuff. That's very cartoonish as well. But it looks so real in the scene. It's so funny. So much of the CGI just blends in extremely well. It feels like a Hollywood production in a lot of that CGI elements of the movie.
It helps that it's at night, sometimes through night vision. And so I think
a lot of it,
in that respect, I mean, until you really get to the last sequence, you it works in the movie's favor. It's a complaint that happens in a lot of kaiju movies, specifically Godzilla in recent years. Like, oh, we just see him at night in the rain, blah, blah, blah. That is the opposite problem here. Like, we, it enhances everything about this movie because of the, also because of the lore, but
the night vision makes him look real. It's like almost uncanny in some parts, especially during the cave
sequence.
Those are real.
Yeah. And I mean, I love this. Everyone's always like, why would these, like, look, I remember being a college kid and I certainly remember being a teenager. And if I had a group of friends and a nice camera and I stumbled upon a guy who was hunting trolls, I would probably do the exact same thing these kids did.
Yeah, they have the conversation too in the middle of the movie, like after they got a ton of footage of that first troll being killed. Like, why don't we just leave now? We have everything. It's like, no, I wanna see what else he's got to do.
Yeah. I love that because like the movie seems to purposefully, and I think that has to do somewhat with the fact that like there was a script, but there wasn't. The director Andre, is it Overdahl?
Overdahl, yeah.
I never know how to pronounce the O with the slash through it.
I have no clue, but that's what I'm going with.
A director whom has made films that I very much like. The Autopsy of Jane Doe was really, really solid. Loved his version of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. And The Last Voyage of the Demeter was very, very fun. Skip Uma. But yeah, he's made some really solid flicks. He wanted there to be such a naturalistic feel to these movies, to this specific movie, that he would not allow them to use the script. He's like, you know, to use the script as a guiding post as to where these conversations need to go. But I want you to use your own words. I want you guys to build a relationship. And that's what I want to film. And
that's what they did with Blair Witch Project.
Yes.
And
apparently Blair Witch Project, they also like starved the kids too and make them pissy at each other. And I'm like, okay, that's a little mean.
Well, those actors really did develop characters that were not super similar to themselves. This movie, they literally told the actors for Carl, Johanna, and Thomas to make your characters as similar to yourselves and like what you would do in that situation as you can, because they really wanted real reactions from the actors. And Otto Jespersen, who plays Hans, probably had the most difficult job because, like I said, I think he's kind of a funny man, and he really had to be the straight man of this universe and just being this tired soul who's like basically a genocidal troll hunter. He's had a kill at the end of the movie. He's talking about killing babies and pregnant trolls. And it's like, whoa, dude, calm down. This is a comedy, right?
Yeah, I mean, his performance is fantastic because you can tell there's a little bit of a wry humor into some of this stuff. But like the way he delivers it so matter-of-factly, I think everything is anchored on his performance and he just delivers. But one of the things that I do like is I think because the kids are also being like, okay, what is something someone's going to say? Like, why not leave now? And so that they continue to bring up certain things that you would ask a character in some of these movies, like, well, why don't you do this? Or why don't you do this? And they talk about that. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And there are some generally funny moments because, you know, there is the old legend about, you know, trolls being able to smell a Christian man's or Christian person's blood. And Hans asks all the kids if they believe in God or Jesus. Everyone says no, even though one of them actually does. And
funny part about that scene is when he points at Johanna, it's like, I know you're not Christian. It's like, what?
What does that mean? She has the same reaction. But I love when our poor boy Kale eventually gets eaten in the cave, and they get a new girl, Malika, who's a Muslim. And Tomas is like, is that okay? And he goes, we'll find out.
Yeah, there's some pretty fun parts. I think the funniest character is probably Tomas. I like when he's kind of chiding Finn, the government agent in the movie, over the bear paws being like backwards.
My favorite thing is like how much Tomas trolls this dude at every single site. And I'm like, why are you poking the bear so much? You are a college student. Like, he could just ruin you.
Apparently a teenager. It's like, calm down.
And here he is, like, peanut gallery. Like, why is this left and right? Oh, is he walking cross-legged? I'm like, dude, shut up. But, like, I loved it. Like, the entire time you can see, like, Finn's like, I want to murder this child. Oh, God.
I was just going to switch gears to like kind of the more about the monster design itself. And I forgot that the first monster that they came across was the Ringle Finch, the three headed creature, right? Or no, that's the second one. What's the first one called?
The second one is
Tosser Lad.
Yeah. The Ringle Finch is what he's looking for.
Ringle Finch is the second one. And it's like, it's one that he traps or baits under a bridge that he's using, and
it's when he wears like, that armor and just gets smacked into the stone bridge.
Yeah, but that's really cool. You know, that they wanted to go for a sense of these are real animals living their lives in the wild. So that troll is like missing an arm, supposedly from a fight with another troll. And yeah, they said that in the design they were looking for human qualities to kind of exaggerate, you know, like the drooping ears and some, or the bulbous cheeks or noses, the long nose, penile like noses. And yeah, gave them things like digestion issues. There, of course, was no green screen for this movie. This was all shot outside with the trolls. To be fair, I don't know what the cave set situation was like, if that was all real cave or not, but I don't think there was any green screen involved. But the director, Uverdahl, was often acting as the monsters when it came to shooting the scenes with the trolls. So he would have like a big stick with like a troll face kind of like at the top of it to help the actors, like where their eye line was supposed to be, and supposedly was making noises like yelling and roaring, like, which is pretty hilarious and a great quality to have in a director for these kind of CGI movies, willing to help out the actors' performances. He did not fart when the cave trolls were farting, though. He said he just made a lot of noises for that scene. He didn't kill his actors with stench. I guess like maybe the Blair Witch folks would have if they were making this movie. Yeah, very, very small crew, very small cast for this film. And yeah, I do have difficulties calling it a comedy.
I would say it has a dry wit to it. It is not outright a comedy.
It's not even really mockumentary, but it does feel like it in times. It's a really weird cross between your mockumentary and your found footage. Like they really go with the bookend for the film as like, oh, this footage was found and government doesn't. Deny it.
They try to have it's cake and eat it too, but typically a mockumentary, so long as it's a bunch of students trying to film something in some sort of professional aspect, it typically gets the mockumentary label, like the Grave Encounters, The Last Exorcism, compared to like Cloverfield, which is a found footage movie.
Yeah.
You know, there's an idea that like at least they're using professional cameras in a mockumentary.
Yeah. And even though it's, you know, a small college production style, it's pretty nice camera, and I do find it hilarious.
AV rooms typically have at least one good camera, so that makes sense.
But I do find it hilarious that Colley dies, their cameraman dies, and for a couple of scenes they have a cracked camera lens until Malika, the new cameraman, arrives via train or whatever, and they just got like a new cameraman at the drop of the hat. It felt very, you know, we need a new drummer in
what, Spinal Tap or something.
Yeah, this is the Spinal Tap. It's just like, oh, well, now we got a new drummer.
Yeah, so there are some touches to the found footage genre that happened here that I don't fully love. I don't know if it needed the bookends.
Yeah, pretty weak ending, in my opinion.
And the ending in general, I think, is pretty weak.
Yeah.
It's the weakest part of the movie. Found footage often sometimes tends to implode in its finale. A lot of them are supernatural themed things. So there's only like three places you can go or three places they choose to go. You can go anywhere, but a lot of people like to stick to a formula. And this one sticks to a similar formula where like things happen. We assume the government guys, you know, somehow silence them. We don't know if we kill them or not. We're told that they were never seen. No one was ever seen again.
Yeah,
but we don't know what that means.
it's one of the main problems I have with the movie is the three college students are so often in front of the camera, you know, for a documentarian crew. And this is coming off of, you know, Big Man Japan, where we never see the interviewer, the cameraman of that mockumentary. They're so in the movie, but they don't really have much of a plot or characterization in the movie. Like, they don't develop them very much. I mean, Hans isn't really super developed. He's just here and he's moving the plot along.
We just get
along.
To know him a little bit more is all.
And they give them, well, I mean, it's probably a problem with like not having like a super defined script. What's his name? Tomas. Apparently, the entire film is harboring rabies, which not a lot comes of that either.
Well, because he finds out like in the third, at the very end of the movie. Yeah. So like, you know, the climax happens right after he finds that out. Well, although I will say,
they just keep alluding to it because like multiple times they're like, "Are you feeling okay?" It's like, "Yeah, I'm a little tired," but
well, and here's the thing: is
what he says.
I like that I was really worried they were going to tease something where like, oh, he's infected by the trolls and either he's going to turn to stone or become a troll. And I'm glad they didn't do that. Like, he's sick because he got bitten by a wild animal.
Yeah.
And that is perfectly fine. And I remember the first time I saw it, and it had been a while since probably about a decade since I'd seen this movie. I had the same concerns where I was like, oh, man, I really hope they're not going to go this whole route. Because I feel like I thought that happened, but I think I was I was mixing it with the episodes of Doctor Who where people turned into angels.
I barely remembered this movie except they go around hunting trolls the entire time. But that's the thing. That is what this movie is about. Like, there's not a lot of interpersonal drama or, you know,
honestly kind of refreshing.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to have these three students, you know, in as much of the movie, I guess I would like a little bit more of like who they are. And when one of them dies, maybe like a beat to like mourn.
Well, yes. I mean, there is that. I mean, I've watched probably hundreds, and I'm not even being facetious, of found footage movies. And like, there is this sense of like, at some point, like everyone just has this huge falling out in almost every single one. It's one of those irritating tropes in the subgenre. Mm-hmm. And the fact that didn't really happen here, like they bickered and they certainly got exasperated, but there was no big falling out. I actually appreciated that. Mm-hmm. Everyone kind of kept their eye on the prize, and I did like that. Kale, however you pronounce it.
Sure.
I thought he was the weakest link. They could have done more interesting stuff with him throughout the movie instead of having him just kind of freak out towards the end of the troll sequence or the cave sequence and then get eaten. I do love that sequence, though, because you see the camera lift up and you just kind of hear these like really grody crunching sounds, and then you see the camera fall. It's a really well done effect. And that's what this movie really excels at, is selling, you know, the action, selling the trolls. And because that's what you're here to see. I think that's why it doesn't bother me that like the students aren't super well developed. Is like, they're kids doing a project and that's all they are. And that's honestly, that's fine. I liked Hans a lot. I liked his kind of matter of factness. He opens up more, like, because the whole reason he lets them do it is because he wants to get out. And he figures, if people know about it, I can just walk away, I guess. I don't know how that works, but I think he's sick of like the bureaucracy and how they're not really solving any problems. Mm-hmm. And so he's hoping public knowledge will help that. I also think he just doesn't care anymore.
It is kind of a joke that the government agent that is meant to like cover up all these things is not like immediately, you know, calling the cops or whatever to get their footage taken away. He's still like going through the motions of faking the bears, even though they're filming him faking the bears. And it's like, well, okay, well, dude. And it just seems like a non-plot for the movie that they add in just so it can have that ending, you know, towards the end. But yeah, the main stars of this film, besides the troll hunter in the titular troll hunter, are these monsters, which look great. I, you know, barely remembered that last sequence, the Jotun being as large as it was, but it's a pretty impressive monster.
Big boy.
You know? It's very big boy. It feels like it's hard to scale that one because he's in a place where there's no trees. And like they talk a lot about how they use the electrical fences or, you know, towers to like keep these creatures in line. But we don't get to see any of them in those sequences, you know, to assist with the scale of the monster. The only thing we really get is the vehicle, which those scenes do look good. But yeah, it is a fun film. It like I said, it really doesn't leave anything on the table as far as Norwegian mythology and fairy tales go. Just about everything is plumbed for some pretty cool content. I feel like this could easily have been a TV series as well. I feel like, you know, if you want to go and draw this out and be a more story driven thing, this is pretty cool. I mean, they already do it in like, you know, River Monsters and Bigfoot Hunters on like Channel or whatever, and those aren't real, you know. Obviously they're not real, but there's like 500 episodes.
Let's not sling any
I've never
strong
watched
words out here.
I couldn't tell you, but yes. Do you have a favorite scene in the film, Miles?
I don't know. I was thinking about this throughout the entire movie, like which one was my favorite. I honestly love the first troll sequence.
It's pretty good.
I think it's great. Those gorgeous trees, and then they the sound design is so good. And kind of giving you this kind of like 3D panoramic, like, you know, sounds happening all around the forest. And then when Hans is just running and it's a great sequence. I think it's fantastic. It's thrilling. It's fun. It doesn't overstay its welcome. And it's such a fun treat. And that's kind of indicative of the movie to me, because like trolls are not on my high on my list of creatures that I really care that much about. And I think that's why every time I think about that title, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll get to it, I guess. Or yeah, I guess I'll watch a day. And then you watch the movie and you're like, man, this is so much fun. It's such a solid movie. And it's not very long either. It's like, what, 100 minutes, if that?
Yeah, hour 40. That is really my opinion. And going back and looking at Roger Ebert's 2.5-star rating, he said the same. He says not enough of the movie is funny. Quote, I imagine the best way to see the movie would be the way it was presented at Sundance, at a secret midnight screening at which the capacity audience allegedly has no idea what it is about to see. And I feel like if I went into this movie and like didn't watch a trailer, didn't know what it was about, I would have had an amazing time. This is such a fun little snack of a film that I think very similar to Big Man Japan. The first time you watch it is such a weird experience. And then it doesn't hold up as much on repeat viewings. Still a very good movie. You said that they were trying to make a remake. They indeed sold the rights the following year to Hollywood. Chris Columbus's company had acquired the rights to remake the film, and they were shopping around. I don't know if they were going to do it set in the United States, but with, of course, American actors and things like that. And thankfully, it never came to fruition, because, like I said, this movie is just so steeped in Norway, the Norwegian people, their mythology. And it's delightful to get that little snack from them. You know, not much else of a legacy, but 2 years ago now, and I still haven't watched it, but Netflix put out a troll film, which is another of probably much more kaiju-like features of a single giant troll attacking cities in I'm guessing Norway as well. But I'm excited to get to that. I feel like that, you know, this movie walked so that one would run as a kaiju film. Are you ready to get to rating this bad boy?
Miles. Yeah.
What do you think for your personal enjoyment? Where you see this?
I think this is an extremely fun movie. It is something you're not, especially if you're looking for giant monster movies. It's unlike a lot of things that you're going to see. It is a great showcase for Norway. It's an excellent. It's steeped in Norwegian culture and folklore, and I think that's what makes this an interesting entry. It's really fun. The creatures are very well done. All the creature sequences are entertaining. I have some gripes. I that third act just it kind of falls flat, despite the fact that there's some really good spectacle to it. The ending itself, it's just no real ending. It's a non-factor, and it does kind of deflate the movie a little bit. But overall, it's still a great time, great concept, great creatures, great, pretty solid cast. So I'm giving it a really strong 8.
I'm right there with you with an 8. I do feel like it is, especially for your first time viewing, this is a rollicking, kind of fun monster movie, some great monster sequences. And it just felt like every once in a while, this movie was escaping me. Like, I was like, you know, when there wasn't action sequences being had or some cool troll exposition, it felt like it was spinning its wheels a little bit.
You weren't at all interested in the potential romance between Hans and the veterinarian?
No. And it's like essentially like a teeny tiny.
It's like a split second, and the kids are like kind of like, you know, snickering, and then we never talk about it again.
But yeah, it. Like many in the found footage genre, it's really about that initial kind of first viewing that's really going to catch you. And I do think I liked it more on the first time I watched the film. But yeah, there's, you know, not a lot about the characters more than just kind of the superficial layer. So fun watch. But if you're looking for a story, if you're looking for a kaiju movie about a singular monster, this isn't really it. For the technical, I'm a little harsher. I do think the actors and the directors are doing a great job at what they are trying to do, which is this kind of improvised film. But yeah, at times it's very confusing because sometimes the cinematography feels a bit too amateurish, like they lean too hard into the found footage element of it. And then other times it's way too professional, like setup shots, and like it just feels like a mockumentary kind of movie with a professional crew behind it. So it's hard to pin down kind of, I really kind of wish they had stuck in a lane.
Well, I chalk that up to them being film students. So there's probably like a lot of competence to them, but they're also, you know, they're still students and they're still kind of up their own butts. So like they're also prone to mistakes. So I can kind of forgive that.
It's hard to compare because it's such, you know, a different movie, but Blair Witch Project, like they have the beginning of the film that is them producing, you know, all these shots. So they have like tracking shots and like, it feels very amateurish, but it feels very real of what they could accomplish. And then like when they're walking through the forest, like nothing is set up well, cause they're just like in that found footage mode. But this movie doesn't really have that much delineation between the two. But yeah, I'm giving it a 7 out of 10 for the technicals. The CGI is the real star of the show here. And every once in a while, some of the trolls are a little rubbery, but they just, for 2010 and for the budget of this film, which is like $3 million, $3.5 million, something like that, it's great. It's the CGI is like a 10 out of 10 in parts. So what about you, Miles, for the technical aspect?
So for the only thing that really kind of technically failed, like, I think the direction is really solid. I like all the actors. The creatures are great. Very cool designs. I like they look like old storybook trolls, just more realistic. I think that's a great choice. Honestly, the third act is what really deflates this for me. I wish that they had written a better conclusion. Everything just kind of feels very slapdash And
didn't really talk about it, but Hans just kind of disappears.
Well, everyone kind of disappears.
No, he's literally like walking towards the camera, and then like they change the shots and he's like not in the frame anymore. Like he doesn't come back to the car after he kills the Jotun. It's like, where did he go?
Yeah, the whole thing is kind of a mess. And I feel like I get what they were kind of wanting to do, but it just didn't work. That said, I'm still pretty high on this effort in terms of what they accomplished. So I'm still giving this an 8 out of 10 in terms of its technical.
For its importance as a kaiju movie, you know, we usually talk about kaiju movies as being like that single giant monster smashing buildings. No building smash. I guess we get a bridge kind of messed up, but it gives you all of the crazy and a car. Very, you know, a couple things here and there. It gives you all the mythological beasts you can ask for, though. They look gross. It's entertaining. And like I said, I think it does pave the way for that 2022 troll film and maybe some more, you know, in the future. You never know. So, like I said, if they could do it on not a micro budget, but a very small budget like this, I feel like if they want to tell those kind of stories out of Europe, they easily can. When are we getting our, whatchamacallit, not magic serpent, giant behemoth or Reptilicus remake? I feel like we're way overdue for those miles.
Are we though?
Yeah, Europe, you can make kaiju movies. It's okay. You got permission.
They can make kaiju movies. I mean, we saw Godzilla stomp around Europe in the last movie. Like,
yeah, it was made by, you know, mostly U.S. company, but
it doesn't matter. We still saw a giant kaiju stomp around Europe. Oh
yeah. Well, I mean, Europe
sleeping in the Colosseum.
Europe's ready to get crushed. But yeah, so this movie doesn't interact with the genre in so many ways. But like I said, you get to that third act and it's like, oh, that is a fully kaiju sized monster with all kinds of crazy stuff about it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so while it doesn't add a ton to the canon, it is such a unique part of it. I'm giving it a 7 out of 10 miles for tomorrow.
Yeah, this is where I kind of hit it the hardest as well, because, you know, it's not really a kaiju film. However, there is a love of giant monster movies here. This is extremely competently made. And I agree with you that I think it does help kind of put trolls on the map a little bit. I mean, you know, whether it's responsible for that, I don't know. But we do get, you know, some troll themed things not too long after that. I mean, the aforementioned Troll Hunters TV show, which is Guillermo del Toro. Very different, obviously, and very, very good until the final movie. And then, yes, that Netflix troll, which I still haven't seen either. Is that on our slate?
Yeah, you know it is. And its potential sequel, which I hope they call Troll 2. I hope so much, Miles.
But it is still a kind of a kaiju adjacent thing. I don't think it has made as massive of a mark as it could have. And it doesn't use a whole lot of kaiju specific tropes. There are things that I would like to see in kaiju movies for sure. So it's hard to give it any higher. I'm with you on the 7. I actually initially was giving it a 6, but I just felt that was too low. Like, I feel that this is still like, if I'm having a conversation with someone about like other movies, if you like kaiju films that may not necessarily be kaiju films, Troll Hunter would absolutely be on the list. Like, this is a very fine flick. It's a lot of fun. And I think that everyone should at least check it out.
Well, that brings you to a soft 8 and me a bit of a higher 7. Our podcast final, a 7 out of 10. Didn't quite make it into the great category, but I will say, I think this is the greatest European kaiju movie. Not that there's like a ton to pick from, but with a podcast final 7 out of 10. Yeah, this was fun to rewatch. I, like I said, I've forgotten so much of the movie, and I am excited to probably watch it again in about 10 years. That's about, I think, how often I need to rewatch this one. All right. That is going to do it for us. You can reach out to chat us up on social media at Kaiju Versus History. email us, kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. Go to our webpage, kaijuversushistory.com, or check out our Letterboxd. Find our Discord channel in the Cosmic Crit Discord. And share, rate, and review our show. Comment with your apps wherever you listen to this podcast. Let us know what you think. We will react to it here on the podcast. Miles, what are we doing next week here on the show?
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when we briefly and probably for the only time dip our toes in the world of sci-fi monster cinema, and that's Sci-Fi Channel. For an odd film that tries an original take on kaiju, we'll see. That's right. Tune in next time for History versus Behemoth.